Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls continue to get thrown under the bus on Twitter by one Grumpy Pants.
Okay, do you want to clarify that?
No, you just constantly tweet out from the Hosts of Ascalon. They always know it's you because you're like, I'm the best, and hashtag and Alona are terrible human beings in each and
example.
Every way.
Name one
today,
example.
Today
was what?
Today
was what?
Week.
What did I say today that was so terrible?
You're making me go to Twitter.
Well,
you
if
don't like
one
it
big,
when I go to
if one big pair and hashed the tag aren't farting around as usual, or if Cal can leave the room on time. But yeah, yes. So you were responding to that show asking if we were going to start on time.
Mm-hmm. Simple question: do you guys tend to fart around?
No.
Yes. Show this Wednesday live on Twitch at 9 p.m. EST. Listen as Hunter loses his mind over his two co-hosts' weird theories.
Yep.
Okay, that is a good example.
So to continue with this, I am Alona, and I am joined, as always, by hashtag and Hunter. And, Hunter likes throwing hashtag and I under the bus on Twitter.
It's true.
It's a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I laugh. I find them entertaining, so it's not necessarily necessary for you to stop. However, the most recent tweet was much more nice to us.
it took me back a little bit. I wasn't quite sure if it was like an Alona tweet, but that wouldn't quite make sense.
Just playing with your expectations.
Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. I really broke up that intro. You're going to have a lot of fun with that, Hunter.
No, that's going in as is.
Fine. Fair enough.
Do you see what Coffee Quest wrote in chat? I approve of that message. Every time Hunter subtweets his co-hosts, I buy Black Lion Keys and Retribution.
I want to hear the Hunter like
him and like 50,000 other people. It's not going to bother me.
Oh, all right.
Is that your impression now? All right, moving on.
We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we did in Guild Wars 2, or 1 in some cases, this week. Hunter, would you like to start us off?
Well, I worked on activity achievements a lot, several times, and I was in Crab Toss, I was in Keg Brawl, I was in Southstone Survival, Sanctum Sprint. There are just so many achievement points buried in those activities, and they're really easy to get, so I was doing that a lot. I worked on most of the Draconis Mons achievements. Only ones I have left are the Henge Away From Home Send It Back piece. Actually, I got that today. The Disabled, right, that was Disabled. And I think I have the 3 Heart of the Volcano achievements left because I literally have only done the instance once so far. I'm actually looking forward to it. It's a fun instance. It's just I haven't gotten around to it. And I'm quite annoyed that I've been doing the hearts every day for Draconis Mons because of the back piece. They are pretty tedious. Hashtag was talking earlier about just how annoyed she was.
Talking. It was more like... as I was killing mercenaries an hour ago.
This is exactly why I'm not a fan of repeatable hearts as a rule. I hope they tone down some of these hearts in the future. In fact, I would say in the expansion pack, I hope there aren't any repeatable hearts. I've been gathering primordial orchids quite a bit, just flying around the zone, getting as many as I can. I plan to have 3 stacks total. And that's probably when I'll stop gathering them. I have 3 stacks of each of the previous zones, resources. So yeah, I'm just going to get 3 stacks of those. I don't know why. I'm anal, I guess.
This is, you have a goal. It's a personal goal.
Habit.
And I started saving up Bitterfrost Frontier daily chests to open up when the next chapter comes out. Probably won't save up 10 times the amount I need, but even a broken clock is right twice a day, so I thought I'd emulate hashtag.
Hey, you know, it's a good thing to do. I'm glad you're finally taking my advice, Hunter.
Yeah, I've been playing Fallout 4 a lot, so that's pretty much all I've done the past couple of weeks. So, Alona, what have you done this week?
First, I'm doing something with the computer. All right. Last 2 weeks. Haha. You didn't react to that.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, like, we do a show every 2 weeks, so it's more than 1 week worth of stuffs.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I finally got silver on Shooting Gallery, so woo! Have you got silver? Anyone else?
No.
I don't know. Probably not.
It was, again, a close call because of, even if you do it with plenty of time before nighttime, there's still events that happen around there with Mordrem that attack you, and that is very frustrating.
So bizarre that they chose to put that right in the middle of a bunch of events. Like, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I really like that one. I think it may actually be my favorite of them all. In any event, so I highly doubt I'll ever get gold, but I will continue to do that one. And hashtag and I fell into a Dragonstand meta. We just went in to collect some noxious pods, and it was like, was it 4 or 5 minutes till the map closed or something?
It was close, and we started gathering, and then we decided to stay in, and it was very lucrative for one of us.
Yes. So it was a successful Dragonstand, so of course we got all the noxious pods and it was awesome and I had fun, even though hashtag got way more crystalline ore than I did. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd go through and I'm like, I only got like 6, and she goes, really? I have like 20. Like, what? That's so outrageous.
I don't know what. I was getting regular large drops. It was a good thing. Like,
is it 1, 3, and 10 the typical the increments?
Yeah, and I was getting I got 10 several times.
Yeah, and I was getting 1.
Like, sorry.
You better be sorry. And then I ran around Draconis Mons getting the Zin recording Chivo. Was that after last show that we decided to do that?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so it was like immediately after the last show. So I was a zombie the next day. But I loved those recordings. And you, hashtag, were saying that you really liked the voice acting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Voice acting is fantastic, and I love them also because they gave me a Mark Watney from The Martian vibe, more so from the audiobook than the movie, but man, so good. And they even actually reference Potato, so I kind of feel like it's on purpose, but it's not close enough for me to be like definitively right on that one. But I liked it anyway, because it reminded me of that. Last Wednesday, hashtag and I continued our Guild Wars 1 stream, and it's definitely the coming back to me, like chat is also very, very helpful, giving us shortcuts for the keyboards and whatnot, because I've forgotten a lot. And although we had a small hiccup right at the start, because we were going to have our other guildie, Panther, join us, and I was super excited because it was and I had worked to get him up to the same quest list that we had so that we could all go in together, and I had completely forgot that pre-searing only allows for 2 party members, and I didn't even notice it when I was making a party with him to do this, like 100% didn't even pay attention to that. So the only bummer of that was that Panther wasn't able to join us.
Yeah, felt bad for Panther.
Yeah, like, he was all there, ready to go. I'm like, Mom, you gotta leave. But once we get to the point where we can have more, I'm going to play with him on another character that I have in pre-searing and get him into, so he can join up with us once we're past that.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do some of the Belcher's Bluff chivos, but discovered, thanks to Hunter who informed me, that some of the things for it are bugged. And then he made fun of me because I've waited this long to even try to do some of them. But still, I'm sad. And the thing is, they were bugged as of like a month and a half ago.
Well, I have volunteered to help you with them so many times.
Well, probably 3 or 4 times, yeah. You have. But I was bummed because I only have 2 of the special skills that you can get, and there's achievements tied to getting all of them, and now I can't get all of them, so hopefully that gets fixed. I should maybe check. Maybe it was a stealth fix. They don't care. They haven't fixed it. Maybe. Maybe it'll get fixed. Hunter mentioned the activities, and I went into Keg Brawl one night when he was in there and got a bunch of momentum done on some of those achievements. And other than a couple interlopers, it was just the two of us, and it was a lot of fun on opposite teams, like the time we did Crab Toss. So I quite like that. I really like just one-on-one activities, as it turns out.
Well, yeah.
And I did missions with Maven on Monday, which were fun. And then Mox missions were delayed until Sunday. But I always have a good time with that. We even managed, well, okay, we had the crab scuttle and we got enough people through that we got credit for everyone, but we didn't actually have to have everyone finish it. Because that
crab,
that one's a thing. However, during missions with Maven, I wanted to call this out. We were discussing how irritating it can be to have to type a long item name to delete it. And I mentioned, you know, that I think that's what ArenaNet should do to punish botters or gold sellers or what have you. Like, instead of like publicly shaming them by deleting their accounts, create a junk item with a really long name, like really, really long name, with maybe one random letter different in it so that they can't do copies and pastes, and then fill their bags and banks with it so they have to delete each one individually. That's what I think they should do to punish people. And there were a few people that thought that was a good idea in chat. Also on Sunday, I did my first raid run with Guild Mag. Spirit reached out to hashtag and me and a few other people in the Relics Discord server saying that Guild Mag was looking to do like a learning training raid with a fairly regular group of people. They had some openings, and it's Sunday afternoons, and so I jumped at the chance and I went in, and it was a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun because I felt like for the most part, the bulk of us were around the same level as far as experience. Mm-hmm. Like we've all done it a bit and we know roughly what we should be doing, but there's still a lot of growth that can happen. And we concentrated on my good friend, Cairn, who I hate.
Oh, those green circles.
I got better at those by then, so we weren't successful, but I know I learned a bunch, and I feel like I'm definitely improving on that one. And we had some good quotes that came out of this, and I put a not safe for work warning on the first one. So the one where he puts down like this big paddle arm thing and sweeps it around and knocks everything over. When that happened, Inky Sticks from Gilbert got hit twice, and she yelled, "I got double dicked!" as it went around, and it was a good time. We didn't let her forget that one. And then when she was putting down the markers for where things were, she made up a new word for roughicially. It's like, roughicially, it's over here, instead of roughly. I thought it sounded fancy, so I like that.
I like
one.
It.
And the term pity shards for when you get a partial success, like at certain percentage points of health, you get some magnetite shards. And so our goals were pity shards. That was our we're just working for the pity shards because we weren't successful. And I thought this would, we came up with this one, which I thought could help across the board for what to call food or utility items, because they're a wrench or an apple. So we're just going to call them rapples. And I like that term, rapples. It's fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I can't remember who said this one. For when more than one person is downed in an AOE, it was called a death cuddle puddle. And I quite like that. So that was everything I did.
So
hashtag it's up to you.
So I completed all of the Draconis Mons achievements tonight, right before we podcasted. I finished the last step in the backpack. So got all of that done. Super simple, easy, no complaining at all. All smooth sailing. No, it was, I felt like comparatively I liked these achievements more than Ember Bay but less than Lake Dork, but I like the zone better than Lake Dork, if that makes sense. So sure. But
could
I'm very
put
happy
in pie chart form.
Oh,
or Venn diagram.
I am very happy to be done with the back piece because it was, you know, it was exciting to be working towards something, but man, did those hearts, like Hunter said, get very, very repetitive.
Now, how much of that, though, is that because most other hearts aren't required to get something like a back piece, so no one really farmed hearts. And this is really the only first time that this has been a thing. So, of course, people who are very goal-oriented, like you.
I mean, Ember Bay has the heart tour for the dailies, the rock
right.
tour.
But most
people
just
different.
Ignore that because there's nothing at the end. It's not like
right.
you get an amazing back piece or something at the end. So it's
right.
like I legit ignore it, to be honest.
I have not liked doing the hearts since day one. I noticed on the first day I did the mercenary heart that it was long and tedious to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
I think and I was mentioning in chat earlier, I think that the mercenary heart was tuned to work with the worm event that pops up fairly frequently when it's working, and the pre-event, so you can get a fair amount of XP from those two events, but they have not been working correctly, or if they are working correctly, it's kind of buggy and strange and weird and doesn't always pop correctly. So that's
well,
why
like
I
was saying earlier, it's just more killing stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's not helpful. Like there should be more optional things you can do to get heart credit. And it's just all killing stuff because people have always been doing the prisoners. Like you can never find the prisoners untouched.
Right.
And you can never find the cannons untouched.
I think it would be better if the named elites gave more XP than they currently give. That would be a nice little boost. But
I appreciate that they put named elites in there. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's very few other places in the game where you just get normal bosses that have an actual name. So I like that. So
I agree. I have been working on Heart of Thorns map completion with my thief. I'm working towards getting Maguma mastery for the supposed scepter. I have all of the gifts done, like the gift of Itzel, gift of Exalted, that sort of thing from the map currency. That's all done, but I need to do is that the map ones? You know
That's
what I'm talking about?
Verdant Brink map complete. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I finished Verdant Brink and Auric Basin. Auric Basin, I had it mostly done, and then I got stuck waiting to do Balthazar, and nobody was on for a while, and then nobody in the zone was doing it, and it just was not working out. And then I put out an all call, and Spirit and her rowboats from Relics of Or rallied and showed up. And helped me take down Balthazar for the hero point. So I got that done. Huzzah.
And what night was that?
I want to say 2 nights ago, maybe. I'm currently working on Tangled Depths. I have about 50% of that done. And it's just, I know that Tangled Depths has its lovers and it has a system and it has its ways with people, but
I don't know anyone who loves it.
Lovers and ways with people are not the best ways to describe this.
I'm just baby, do you love my Tangled Depths? No, I don't.
No, I don't. Like, it
doesn't work.
I am not one with Tangled Depths. In fact, when I first did it with hashtag, I used a lot of the WW hero point skip points. You know how you can buy the thingies so you can skip doing the hero points. Right. And so I ended up getting a lot of those for Tangled Depths. So I never did the hero points ever.
You little sneak.
Well, I played
it
smart.
Is not that hard. Come on.
Well, no, here's the thing. It's not that hard when you have a group, but some of those hero points are, you know, they definitely require groups. And so you
hero
need to plan.
Points, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Like I was trying to do the one down in the bottom left last night. That's the one up on a mushroom. Yeah. And there were people on map, but nobody over there and nobody was interested in going over there. So I knew that I would just have to wait until I had a group together to do that and then just work my way through. Kind of get a group, a hero point train going and work through all of those things. I will say though, doing Tangled Depths this time is easier in that I have all of my masteries. And I remember the first time trying to do it with only partial masteries was painful. So that's good. Let's see. So now that the Blessing of Coda achievement has been removed, well, not removed, moved.
brief panic from anyone currently listening.
Sorry. moved in the achievement panel, I can finally feel good about finishing the Living Season 3 story achievements. I have almost everything done. I still have to do the I am Rubber, Your Destroyer, that one. I'm going to hopefully get that done this week, and I need to finish the Gift of Aurin, and then I will have all of the achievement points. Woo! From Living Season 3. So I wanted to start trying the action cam because I find that when I do play with the action cam, it feels a little bit more natural to me given the way that I typically play. So,
is that new though? Like how recently?
Just this week. I was actually talking with, it's kind of funny because I've been thinking about it and playing with it a little bit. And then I talked to Spirit actually yesterday. She brought it up to me, because I guess she was thinking about, some of our recent raids and wondering why I was having trouble with some of my movement skills and getting to where I needed to go. And she was like, it just dawned on her, like, wait a minute, what keys are you using to move around? How do you move around? And then it all kind of came together. So she suggested, I think, about Action Cam. And I was like, you know what? I've already kind of been thinking about that. So
I've been thinking I might want to try it too, because I always lose track of my mouse.
Right.
And I think Action Cam will help with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. And this week, we asked, Ascalonians,
Are you going to actually read what was tweeted?
We need you votes. Okay. So I wrote this poll, and we were having a group chat about this, and Hunter's like, "You guys need to get your poll out." And
yeah, I always
Alona,
do it. Get your own
I have
together.
Handled every single previous poll, so I thought
true.
I'll get
it
you
is very
two
true.
Working on this stuff, so you don't feel like I'm just.
It's true.
I thought you owned it.
I'm not trying to own anything.
Alona and I, you know, we were both at work. Alona was busy, and I had 5 minutes between bells of my classes I was teaching, and so I was like, fine, I will get this out. So I sat down, wrote it as fast as I could, hence the typo, we need you votes. Anyway, Balthazar has hounds, Melandru keeps plants, which god would own a cat? And let me tell you, we were pleasantly surprised to see the response. Previous polls, I think we had a couple that were 100-ish. And here we are. This one closed at 685. And it would have gone higher, but I did not know how to set the times. It's my first time doing a poll. And like I said, I had 5 minutes to throw it together and throw it out there. So I apologize. It was a 24-hour one and done. Get your vote in. And we had 685 responses. So Duena came in at 11%. Lyssa had 39%. Grenth, 27%. And Cormyr, 23%. So Lyssa was our big winner.
Yes. Yay. I do think that it was interesting. A few people pointed out that Melandru actually has cats.
Yeah,
already.
But like, she can't play favorites. That would be unfair. Yes.
Yes. So I voted Lyssa, actually.
Yeah, why did so many people vote Lyssa? What is it about Lyssa?
I don't
it seems like a cat name.
I think it was just pure guts. Like, you know, it's Lyssa. I don't know. I didn't
you
vote.
Didn't vote.
You because didn't?
I didn't.
Outrageous!
I.
We should just scrap this whole thing. It's invalid.
I didn't vote because I don't know enough.
Would have had 686. It would have been such nice symmetry. Way to ruin it, hashtag.
Gosh.
The last time I leave you guys to organize the votes of Ashura.
Not leave to push us to
push,
organize.
Push. Shame us into.
Involved.
It's more like
I voted for Cormyr just because. Bookish nerds tend to have cats, and that seemed like, Cormyr would
that's
be a cat
fair.
Lady. I mean,
yep. And I was, I just wish we had received more votes than this paltry 685. Paltry.
Paltry.
Yes.
So from Twitter, we got some good responses. So which god would own a cat? That shaman responded, me.
Saucy.
That was good. Flipside 3 said, I picture Grenth as having ravens and goats, while Duena a flock of fluffy white sheep and swans. Cormyr probably has a blind honey badger.
So she clearly wins, because honey badgers.
Clearly. At Cam Charka said, I think Melandru still. Melandru's stalkers. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
At the Penny Quinn said, obviously, Lyssa, who else would the fabulous Chauncey Von Snuffles belong to?
See, that's kind of where I was going with that, too.
I can see that, maybe. Mm-hmm. And at Calabajui said, I feel that the god of death would want to come home to a kitten at the end of a busy day of reaping.
Had you not read that before?
No, I did not read ahead. Oh, poor Balthazar. All right.
So that was a fun quiz. And dovetailing into our quiz, I'm making dovetailing hand gestures, which everyone in chat can totally see.
I can see it.
Dovetailing. We are introducing Haute of Ascalon Fashion Contest. Ascalonians, we are pleased to announce our first fashion-themed contest. Choose your favorite Tyrian god and design an outfit, but not from outfits, around that theme. The look can be an interpretation. It does not have to be literal. So think outside the box. And myself and hashtag and Hunter, if we can persuade him, will judge the entries a la RuPaul's Drag Race catwalk on an upcoming episode.
I feel like
episode.
We'll get more entries if I promise to stay out of it.
I don't know about that. I think people want to hear your you're like the Simon Cowell of the group, you know.
You, what the hell?
We're mixing.
Nobody likes Simon Cowell.
Although, ish. So our guidelines are to tweet, email, or carrier pigeon, which won't work, a screenshot of your character decked out to represent one of the six gods of Tyria. Make sure you let us know which god you are fashioned after. And if, you know, you get creative with the words, write a little story, short story, that's totally fine. You may submit up to six entries, one per god, and no outfits are allowed. So show us your spiffy armor creativity. And entries are due. Did we actually decide on this date hashtag for sure?
Yes.
Okay. Entries are due May 31st.
That's only about 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
I like short and spiffy. 24 hours.
Short and spiffy. What if? Let's get this done. We're also going to tweet out about it.
All right.
We're also going to, and so the prizes will be for first place, a black t-shirt with the green foil Heart of Thorns logo, choice of large or extra large. Second place is a Heart of Thorns pin, and third place is a Heart of Thorns lanyard. And all entries that are not safe for work, depending like I was how trying to figure out how well I just on the safe side I'm just saying this will be added.
There's no way.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll be added to the Host of Ascalon live show slideshow. Actually, I forgot. I wanted you to say
I'm
this
not
in movie,
it, movie,
movie voice.
Voice,
Hunter.
Wow, the disappointment is tangible.
I'm not saying it in movie
we're waiting for
my
it.
Screen I want that as my ringtone. I'm not saying it in movie voice. So that is our contest. We were given a few t-shirts and the lanyard and pin. And our goal is to have a few more contests down the line, but this is what we're starting with for now. And we look forward to seeing what everyone can do.
We look forward to judging. It is going to be super fun.
Actually, I don't look forward to judging because I had to narrow down. So when I was on Guild Wars Reporter, I did for the Tempest reveal, I did like top 10 war horns for Tempest. And it was super hard to narrow that down. Mm. And I can't imagine doing that with people's like heart and soul creations. So
gotta be ruthless.
Oh, so it is.
Yep.
So
it
I should
be hard. Yes.
Yes, you
and
should.
I do, and I loves me some RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm going to have to practice just like, you know, hashtag your runway was, and then blah blah blah, and then a pun of some variety. I need to practice that.
Yep, we're going to practice.
Actually, so if one of us has to be RuPaul, and the other one has to be like one of the other. Mm. Actually, I could be Ross Matthews. I could totally be Ross Matthews.
We'll have to work it out.
Yep.
So that's an upcoming episode we will judge live for your listening pleasure.
And now it's time for Post of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is this week's patch notes.
I wish we got something to talk about.
Just a few things.
So start with the Living World updates. They moved the Coda's Blessing achievement. Oh, you mentioned this already in your thing. They moved the Coda's Blessing achievement from the A Crack in the Ice achievement category to the Rare Collections category. This was not that important to me, but you said that you liked the change.
Well, as a completionist, I like seeing that I have
finished.
Well,
maybe you should finish the achievement.
Like having something. that scar, that scar in your achievement panel.
See, my rare collections is such a graveyard of buried hopes that there's no way I'm ever going to finish half of those. So I don't worry about that. But the Living Season achievements, that those are definitely ones I can finish and feel good about
and
having them all completed.
You try to decide to pick them up again to do achievements and they're bugged.
Indeed. Cry about it.
Indeed.
Moving on. newly created accounts must wait 72 hours before gems to gold transactions can be completed on the currency exchange. I guess that was... Did we decide if that was previously just for free-to-play accounts? Or is...
Well, I think... No, I think... Because free-to-play can't convert to gems. I think that it was previously just... You had to wait 72 hours to use the trading post.
Right.
No, for full accounts. Mm-hmm. You can't use the trading post right away. I don't think. I think you have to wait a little bit. chat room, let us know. Share
so
your wisdom
raids,
with us.
The refined envoy armor crafting recipes are now account bound, and acquiring a piece of refined envoy armor now unlocks the skin for the corresponding experimental envoy armor piece. And legendary armor pieces are no longer salvageable. So just a little caretaking with those. Looks like, I think those were just...
Like, can you imagine accidentally salvaging
like,
legendary
how
armor?
Did that guy find out? Anyway.
I don't want to know.
I don't
want to
know.
Anyone.
I mean, what? Why?
And they added several cooking recipes to the rotation of the pack supply network. I checked that out today, and one of the recipes was a 20% duration, condition duration food, which...
Is that the one in Frostgorge today?
It was all of the packed dudes. Okay. This was much earlier today, so I'm not sure if they've rotated yet or not.
I think there's a soup.
This was some kale, garlic kale saute or something.
Oh. Bowl of sweet and spicy butternut squash soup on daily pack supply merchants.
Okay.
That's what's up right now.
Yeah, the price of garlic, of course, exploded, but anyway. Well, a little bit. It was at 9.50 or something when I saw it. Moving into profession skills, they had a balance update for tons of stuff. In this update, you'll see some changes aimed at normalizing how certain types of skills work. Skills that tether players together now apply reveal to provide a stronger window of opportunity to players who can successfully land them. Skills and traits that previously granted pulsing stability now grant a block of stability up front in order to better allow for counterplay through boon removal. And finally, we are increasing the casting time of many skills that apply effects like daze or stun in order to give the player on the receiving end of these skills time to react and defend. So
a lot of my PvP build is based on daze and stun, so I need to take a look at that. When I read that, I'm like, oh, I wonder how much of this is going to... But see, okay, the one is a mantra, so maybe just the casting time of your mantras extended, but then that wouldn't decrease the amount of time that you'd get, like, because that mantras are an instant, like, they're just instant. So I don't know if that one was affected at all, but yeah, I was like, oh, has this buggered me?
Mm-hmm. I'll talk more about some of that stuff when we get to the professions specifically.
Lots of PvP changes.
Consumables. The line of foods that provided bonus damage while moving has been dominating consumables use for all power-based builds. In addition to being significantly more powerful than other foods designed to boost power damage, the wiggle strategy to maintain uptime on its effect has a negative impact on the health of the game and its players. For these reasons, food that increases outgoing damage while moving has had its efficacy reduced by 50%. This affects the following items and the respective feasts, and then it lists a bunch of foods, but the two main headliners here are the bowl of seaweed salad and the bowl of winterberry seaweed salad, which had 10% more damage while moving. And there's some other foods, but they're not worth mentioning. I'm not sure why they're here. I'm pretty sure I cut them out.
I said I was condensing them so we could just list them all and say this, to this, this to this, this to this. But fine.
That's
you don't
why
have to
I cut them.
You said we could...
Frost gun, the infamous frost gun, the bundle item obtained from researcher Ben and Darren Fields, has had its skills reworked. So, yeah, that would be the wooden potatoes video that everyone was talking about the super borked build with the frost gun.
Super borked. I want a weapon called super borked.
I'm not familiar with it. What did
you
it?
You got insane
what did
amount
it do?
Of damage with it. But moving on to Seed Turret, it has reduced duration of bleeding to 3 seconds, and Take Root, reduced duration of bleeding to 3 seconds. Those were used in a somewhat exploity kind of way. They really boosted bleeding damage for some professions in certain situations, especially raids, I think, is where Take Root especially was being used. So they've nerfed those. And up next is Elementalist. Alona, you want to take that?
In this iteration, there have been a couple reworks for less used utility skills and a couple of general quality of life changes. In PvP, we'll be looking to slow down the Elementalist defensive capability so that it has a few more openings for opponents to pressure them. And we just called out a few, specifically Rebound. The base healing of this ability has been increased by 33%, which that's a marked increase. And Glyph of Elemental Power, reduced recharge to 25 seconds. It now gives 5 charges instead of a 3-second cooldown interval, decreased duration of 25 seconds, and reduced the burning duration to 1 stack for 3 seconds, changed crippled condition to 1 stack of bleeding for 6 seconds, and changed weakness condition to 4 stacks of vulnerability for 5 seconds. And finally, Arcane Power. The effects of this skill now apply up to four other nearby allies within a range of 240. In addition to its previous effects, each stack of this effect now gives 75 ferocity at level 80. And I know Wooden Potatoes put a video out today talking about a few of the changes that he felt he could talk about, and he actually goes into these ones specifically quite a bit. So if you play an Elementalist and want to hear his thoughts on that, go to his channel.
Yeah, get lost.
none of us main Elementalists. No. So I know those were the biggins, but I don't, and I do like playing my Elementalist, but it's not my main. So
okay, so the Engineer. Most of the time, engineers were taking turret skills and never deploying the turret because the tool belt skill was too important to be overridden by the detonate turret skill. In this update, we are moving the detonate skill to be the flip over for the turret itself, so the tool belt skill is always available even if you deploy the turret. Because many of the overcharge skills weren't very tactical and much easier to just press on cooldown, we've changed these skills to automatically activate the moment the turret is placed instead. Since this means a turret can only be charged, overcharged once per deployment, we've reduced the recharge of a few turrets to compensate. Protection injection, the cooldown of this trait has been increased from 5 seconds to 10 seconds.
Put that in because it was really a good trait because you would have like constant protection up, and it was good in certain situations. Hmm. A lot of people using it in World versus World.
Yeah. So it's been nerfed a bit. Okay. Actually, not a bit.
Well,
that's a big
cooldown. Yeah.
That's a big change. Yeah. Yeah. And then med pack drop. This skill will now remove all 14 conditions for up to 5 allies. Whoa.
Yeah, yes! That is a big change.
So good.
That is the
so good.
Holy
that is
moly.
A tool belt skill for the elite supply crate. And it's
and I use it a fair bit when
yeah,
we're at
I
Randac.
Use it occasionally.
I use it a lot.
Yeah, it's a really wow. nice utility change there.
What was it before?
I couldn't say, like a couple of conditions up to five max. I don't know.
I can look it up.
Oh, you're going to look at the version
so
on the wiki?
Yeah.
While you're doing that, we can talk about the turret changes. And yeah, there's a big DPS increase for engineers with this patch. If you want the details, I would say go look at like all the specific skill changes. We're not going to go through every single thing. But that's a...
Right.
Yeah, I was reading in a couple of different threads.
The med pack drop does not have the changes listed on the wiki yet. It just has the June 23rd, it was added to the game of 2015.
Hmm. Okay.
So, Guardian. Quite a few signets have languished for the Guardian for some time, so we took this opportunity to give them a bit more oomph and rework some of their actives. I'm not going to talk about any of the signets because there was only like one interesting signet change, but I would like to talk about the Shield of Courage change, which decreased the active duration of the skill from 4 seconds to 3 seconds. The cooldown has been decreased from 75 seconds to 60 seconds. Big cooldown, but also only 3 seconds of uptime. That's going to take a lot more skilled, use to get the maximum amount of usage out of it. And
Although 3 seconds is actually a pretty long time.
Anyway, it's one of the big raid skills that Guardians use, so it's interesting that they're nerfing it.
Mm-hmm.
Spear of Justice skill now applies 6 seconds of revealed on the initial impact. I'm all for adding more revealed skills, but they talked about it at the beginning of the update notes, like, oh, a bunch of skills are getting revealed. I think there's like 2 skills getting revealed.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Hunter, could you speak specifically, just in case someone doesn't know, what does
revealed removes stealth, and you can't put it on you again until revealed is off of you. It's a debuff, essentially. Yeah, but Spear of Justice, for those who don't know, is a Dragon Hunter virtue skill that immobilizes your target, and I believe you can light them on fire with that. Save yourselves. This skill now grants 1.5 seconds of resistance in addition to the other boons applied. So save yourselves draws conditions from allies to you. So I assume the 1.5 seconds of resistance is there so that it doesn't immediately kill you if there's a lot of conditions around you, and you can like put down immediately some sort of condition removal skill. Wall of Reflection reduced the cooldown of this skill from 40 seconds to 30 seconds. That is a big buff for a very popular skill. So it's already popular. I imagine it's just going to get even more popular. And that is everything we're talking about with Guardian.
It is. I'm going to finish typing that. And moving on to Mesmer. In this update, we're rolling out new attacks for more Phantasm skills, and looking at enhancements to power-based Shatter builds, which have fallen out of favor recently. And man howdy, did they ever go after the Phantasms. They touched everything but Staff and Torch, essentially. Like, every other weapon that a Mesmer can create a Phantasm on was touched. I thought it was interesting that Staff and Torch weren't, but there was still a lot here. So Phantasmal Berserker, this skill now fires a boomerang projectile that inflicts 3 stacks of vulnerability for 3 seconds, in addition to summoning a phantasm. So Berserker is the great sword. Phantasmal Swordsman, obviously sword. This skill now performs a sword strike in front of the player when summoning the phantasm. If the sword strike hits you and all swordsmen currently summoned, gain 8 might for 10 seconds. That's actually pretty great. Phantasmal Warden, which is on the focus. This skill now throws an illusionary axe at the target, which immobilizes for 2 seconds in addition to summoning a phantasm. Okay, this one is amazing. And because I love the focus skill. or the focus as a weapon. And I love the Phantasmal Warden, but you cast it, and whatever you cast it on just wanders away from it, and it's they're spinning at its axes in midair doing sweet piss all. And so I was like, yay! This makes the Warden so great! And it already does pretty significant damage. Okay, I will say I love this. I kind of feel like it might end up being a little bit overpowered. And I don't want to say that too loud because I don't want them to change it because I kind of love this. Anyway, Phantasmal Rogue, which is the downstate Phantasm skill, which no one ever gets time to kick off anyway, has now been updated to perform an attack that applies 1 stack of confusion and 5 stacks of vulnerability for 5 seconds in addition to summoning a phantasm. I'm usually dead before that is on cooldown, so it's never really a factor, but it's been addressed. For the underwater weapons, both of them have had an update. The Illusionary Whaler, the skill now fires Siren's Call projectiles at 3 nearby foes in addition to summoning a phantasm. I'm a little bit conflicted on this one because what if you only want to target one and you suddenly get 3? That could be like, I didn't
aggro
really want to
all
do
the things.
All the things. So I'm a little bit conflicted about this particular one. Illusionary Mariner, this skill now performs an evasive strike in addition to summoning a phantasm. Love that. I think it's great. And finally, Illusionary Reversion, which is one of the trait skills. I didn't take note of which line it was in, and I can't remember. But increased required illusions shattered to 3. And I think this was a Chronomancer one. I could be wrong. But I thought that was fairly interesting that before you could just fire it off at 1 or 2. And you'd get some, I think this is create a clone. So if you could do it at 1 and you'd still have 1 or 2 and you'd still have 2, I think. I can't remember how this works. I haven't chronomanced for a while, confession. So yeah, I thought that was interesting that they're like, no, it's 3 or all or nothing. You have to have a full complement of illusions out before this actually
does. I'm really surprised they worked on the underwater skills.
Yeah,
and the downed.
Yeah. And
to
why?
Be perfectly honest, honestly, I can count probably on one hand, maybe 2, the amount of times I've been able to use the Phantasmal Rogue because I'm usually dead before it's off cooldown. So, I like all the changes though. I'm not okay. I'm sounding like I'm complaining, but I'm not really complaining. And actually, the staff and the torch, they kind of have secondary on creation anyway, because the torch, you know, of course, causes burning when it appears, and the staff just starts attacking, and it's a bouncing attack anyway. So that's probably why they didn't touch those ones.
So for Necromancers, here's what they had to say. Our biggest focus in this iteration for Necromancers was that of Epidemic, in that its impact is too instant in most PvP scenarios, as well as its heavy toll on our servers. Secondarily, we've long felt that the Plague Elite was lackluster and was in need of a rework, in addition to a variety of weapon-based quality of life changes. We're excited to see how the skill changes fare over time. And all the necros across the land rejoiced. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Or maybe it's just me. yeah, I mean, really, necros, they got a lot of love in this patch. My heart was like beating really fast as I was reading through these, waiting to get to Necromancer. When I finally got to it, I was like, okay. Okay.
You were like, I was really anxious.
I was because I love playing Necro, and I was worried that there were going to be some changes that were going to knock Necro out of raids. And I, you know, wouldn't be able to play that class as much in raids. So that was my major concern.
Can't imagine that any of their goals is to do anything that would conceivably purposefully knock a profession out of raids.
I think that's fair. But as we know, it can happen unintentionally. So anyway, we did take out of our notes most of the PvP changes because that's not really our forte. But there were a number of changes that impacted PvP. And then let's see, Tainted Shackles. This skill will now apply 5 seconds of revealed to enemies the first time it successfully hits. So this is the other one that they were talking about in the intro notes. 5 seconds of revealed. Tainted Shackles is, I want to say, is it skill 3 on the shroud? Is that right?
I have no idea.
I think it might be.
I'm a little annoyed that both the Spear of Justice got like 6 seconds and this skill has 5 seconds, and like other revealed skills, you get like 3 or 4 seconds. And like, why not buff those skills so you get more than 3 or 4 seconds of revealed? And instead of buffing them,
like 20 seconds.
New skills with revealed.
So Coffee and Quests let us know that it is the base shroud skill 4 for Tainted Shackles. And then Infusing Terror, which is part of the Reaper Shroud. This skill no longer pulses stability, but instead grants 3 stacks for 6 seconds upon activating it. The active form of this skill now reduces incoming physical and condition damage by 20% for its duration. I am super excited because I use this a lot. And that's going to be a big change for me. And I'm excited to see it, how it works out in my normal gameplay. Plague Elite. This skill has been reworked and has been renamed to Plague Lands. Plague Lands. I want, like, where did they come up with that? Plague Lands. Plague Lands.
Peg Leg skill?
I'll call it Peg Leg.
Maybe. So this skill creates a 240 radius corrupted area at the necromancer's initial location for 10 seconds. After 1 second, it pulses damage and conditions in that area for 9 seconds. Each pulse applies a new condition, and each pulse applies all conditions from every pulse before it. Conditions applied in order are bleeding, poison, torment, vulnerability, cripple, weakness, blind, chill, and burning. Recharge is set to 120 seconds. So I tried this out non-ideally in Draconis Mons as I was doing hearts, and insta-melted some creatures. But it was pretty cool to see it ticking down. It's going to be neat to see how people incorporate this into builds.
Now, was your Necro specifically traded for Condi's?
Yes.
Okay.
Epidemic. This ability now fires slow arcing projectiles from its initial target to up to 5 targets in range. Foes hit by the projectiles gain all conditions from the original epidemic target. Projectile strikes are unblockable but cannot critically hit. Increased radius to 900. And this is still a little borked. There's been reports of issues with this, the way this is
bugged.
It's bugged. I think I read on Reddit that one of the things that it's doing is it's missing targets that are right next to you and hitting targets that are a little farther away.
Yeah, it's very unreliable is what I've been reading. And I sympathize with that because any skill that you can't rely on to do what you want it to do is just like, why use it at all?
Right.
Like, I can think of a couple of skills over the years in Guild Wars 2 that have been like that, and then eventually Aina would fix them so that they were far more reliable. Like Poison Volley on the pistol for Engineer, like it was supposed to hit for like however many poison stacks, but usually you could only get like 1 hit off of the damn skill, but eventually they fixed it so it was more accurate and more reliable and actually useful.
This will be fixed pretty quick.
Oh yeah, and it was also fun on release day because it was friendly fire, and it there was a bug in it, so you were hitting your friends with epidemic as well. Yeah, the trolls were out, and they quickly fixed that. But for a little bit of time, it was kind of fun. Rending claws applies twice as much vulnerability while your target is below 50% health, while ghastly claws now deal 1% more damage per stack of vulnerability on the target. Now, really, does 1% really make that
it's
much
a whole
of a
1% hashtag?
I get that, but I mean to make a whole line item for I don't know. I mean,
which skill is ghastly claws again?
That's the axe, right? Isn't that axe the second
two?
Skill? I believe.
Well, that puts what vulnerability on things. That skill. So yeah. Why wouldn't they just put more vulnerability on it instead of? 1%
I think because it hits 8 times. So it's damage times 8. Like it's that super quick one. So that 1% is probably closer to 8%.
That would make sense if it was multiplied. That I could see that.
Yeah.
Life Siphon gains 20% increased healing if cast while you are bleeding. Deals 20% more damage to bleeding foes. Very interesting. And then Dark Pact. Increased damage by 20%. Now inflicts 2 stacks of bleeding on you for 10 seconds. And that is it for Necros.
Yeah, so Rangers are up next. Condition Rangers have been pretty potent, largely on the strength of Torch skills and Quick Draw. We'd like to preserve the tactical play of Quick Draw, so we're nicking bits of burn duration from Torch skills at this time. While we're at it, we've taken the opportunity to revisit a few older weapon traits for short bows, axe, and sword to grant them a bit more synergy with the core weapon skill function. So they've buffed the heck out of short bow here and axes, basically, and nerfed the torch. But getting to the skills, strength of the pack, the skill has been reworked and no longer pulses boons on the ranger. When cast, the skill will now apply 10 stacks of stability for 8 seconds, and, along with 12 seconds of fury and 12 seconds of swiftness. Smoke Assault, the damage of the skill has been reduced by 15%. This is the smoke scale pet attack. I've been seeing a lot of smoke scales in World vs. World. I wonder if that's related to that. So Bonfire, the duration of burning applied by this skill has been reduced from 3 seconds to 2.5 seconds. And Throw Torch, the duration of burning applied by this skill has been reduced from 6 seconds to 5 seconds. That's unfortunate for a lot of people who are using Torch on Rangers in raids to do a lot of Kani damage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the changes with Poison and Shortbow coming up. Honed Axes. This trait now grants a ferocity bonus whether the axe is in the main hand or the offhand. I think it was just one of the... Was the main hand, perhaps, before this? Anyway, Light on Your Feet, this trait now enhances flanking behind aspects for short bow skills, which is great because you get a lot of bleeds for short bow when you're flanking, which leads into some of the buffs further down. Crippling Shot, this trait now immobilizes if you are beside your target in addition to when you are behind your target. More emphasis on flanking and being behind your target. Poison Volley, this trait now has increased effect if you are beside your target in addition to when you are behind your target. So if you actually look at this, it's 5 stacks of poison if you are flanking and another 5 if you are behind your target. That's 10 stacks of poison. And Refined Toxins, reduce the effective cooldown from 10 seconds to 5 seconds. Reduce the acquired health threshold from 90% to 75%. I forget what Refined Toxins is. I looked this up earlier. Why did I look it up? I don't remember. Something to do with poison. Moving on to Revenant.
Moving on to Revenant. So some of the core trait lines of Some of the core trait lines of Revenant. Why is Revenant so hard to say? Some of the core trait lines of Revenant have been lacking in either synergy or uniqueness. In particular, the Malak's legend and the associated corruption trait line aren't up to snuff. Further exacerbating this is a lack of synergy from other trait lines. As a result, we've reworked and tuned up some of the traits in the invocation and corruption lines to offer more condition-centric revenants. Additionally, we've selected a few places to make small effects on condition-applying skills. Lastly, we're also reworking the Ventari tablet's energy expulsion to give it a stronger place in large group support. And we've pulled out a few. There were a ton that touched on applying torment now. Like, that's what you were saying, Hunter, when you were reading through it.
Mm-hmm. Like, all kinds of torment changes.
Yeah. So we don't necessarily... There's a lot. There were tons of changes. I've seen some pretty good chatter on Twitter and a few places about the changes to Revenant, but the ones we've called out are Echoing Eruption. This skill is no longer able to multi-strike targets. Torment duration has been increased from 6 seconds to 10 seconds. Torment stacks applied have been increased from 3 to 5. This skill will no longer automatically track the Revenant's target and will instead fire the skill forward. What do you mean by that? Like, fire the skill forward. Just like, if what you're firing at is there, if it's moved on, you miss? Is that what that's what I'm seeing there?
I think it just, so it's like a ground-based thing, and it's like lengthwise, so it just faces the direction you are facing.
So it's kind of the people lay on the ground.
Well, yeah, and I think what they're saying is like, if your target moves,
they get out of it.
It's not going to follow them. Yeah.
Yeah. Frigid Blitz. This skill now applies the slow condition for 2 seconds in addition to its other effects. The cooldown of this skill has been reduced from 12 seconds to 10 seconds. That's a pretty big change. And, you know, adding slow, you know, if it was called Frigid Blitz and it didn't apply slow, did it not apply slow before? With the name?
Probably applied chill.
Chill and slow seem to go together. Anyway.
So it's chill, but chill is like hard stop and slow is slow-mo, right?
Yeah.
Incensed Response. This trait now grants might when you gain fury. So that's fury and might go together. They're like, you know, chocolate and peanut butter.
I like chill and slow.
I'm loving your little commentary today. More peanut butter based metaphors for the skills, please.
I will endeavor to.
It's the cough syrup.
It is. I'm on cold medication. Invigorating Flow, renamed to Rapid Flow, now grants swiftness in addition to healing when using an energy skill. And Opportune Extraction. This trait now steals a boon every 10 seconds per target when you apply torment to a target with at least 4 stacks of torment. And basically everything else you're doing as a revenant causes torment, so the chances are pretty darn good they're going to have 4 stacks, I'm guessing. And Frigid Precision. This trait has been replaced by Abyssal Chill. Abyssal Chill causes you to inflict torment when you chill a foe. So there's like a whole lot of chill, slow, and torment. I think those are the takeaways here. Chill, slow, torment. So Revenant is Reaper 2.0.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That will be interesting. Okay, so Thief, the Daredevil staff, functions as a fairly strong AoE weapon, but Core Thief lacks good ways to deal with large groups. So in this update, we're tuning up the shortbow to be a stronger ranged AoE weapon. Additionally, we're making a small change to Unload to make it more effective as a damage tool when you can ensure that your target will stand still. Finally, we're also looking at updates to the Deadly Arts line that emphasize poison use to help establish more defined ways to play based on the traits that you select. So for Unload, this skill now refunds 2 initiative if all attacks hit.
Really like that change.
That's huge. Huge.
That is good.
That's half the cost, I think. Yeah. It's 5, so it's not quite half the cost, but yeah.
Trick Shot, increased number of bounces to 3, now deals 25% increased damage to poisoned foes. Mm-hmm. Detonate Cluster, increased number of bombs to 4. I don't think I've ever used that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, you should be if you're on your thief, because if you just stand on top of something and use 2, well, Detonate Cluster is like the secondary skill from your 2 skill.
Mm-hmm. So you
detonate, fire, detonate, fire, detonate.
Gotcha. That's what it is. Okay.
And there's like 3 bleeds or something on each detonate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't detonate, it still does something, but it's.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Choking Gas, increased damage by 200%. Whoa, is that a typo?
That's like twice as good.
This
quantifiably.
This skill now briefly dazes foes with 5 or more stacks of poison every pulse. The same foe cannot be dazed more than once every second.
Yeah, this is practically overkill for this buff on this skill. That actually makes it worth using, perhaps.
I am never not using shortbow on thief.
Yeah.
Cluster. Yeah, and I actually don't. I mean, I'm happy about these changes to shortbow, but because I use a thief and I use a shortbow pretty often, but I don't want to run into a thief in roll versus roll with these changes.
Yeah.
Because they already have shortbow on their weapon slots, because they can use it to escape extremely quickly, but now they don't even have to escape. They can daze you and poison you and put you down.
And then escape and bounce back and then escape, stealth, yeah. Stealth, come back.
Mm-hmm.
Take you out.
All right.
And maybe
so,
you get to use a down skill.
Finally, potent poison. In addition to its previous effect, this trait now increases the number of stacks of poison applied by other deadly arts traits. So yeah, wow. Really hitting the poison.
I love that, actually. You know me, I've been a huge fan of Condi builds even before. I'm the Condi hipster. I love
you
them
are.
Before they were cool. So I'm okay with more Condi love across the board.
I loved Condis before they were useful in any way at all.
Well,
hey, I like my description better.
So then with all these increases in Condi, were there? I didn't really notice many increases in Condi cleanses. Right?
For Thief, we deleted everything that we weren't talking about, so I don't know.
There are a few Condi cleanses in the last balance patch, I think.
Hmm.
I remember, actually, Watch Yourself, or whatever it was, got updated last time around. Anyway, Warrior. For the Warrior, in this update, we're looking to tone down some overperforming elements and tune up some underperforming ones. Berserker skills such as Arc Divider and Headbutt were providing too much power for their casting time, while Smash Brawler was just providing too much power overall. In terms of effects, we're looking at tuning up Axe skills and their synergy with other weapons. The Axe Mastery trait has been changed to be friendlier to builds that don't use axes in both hands, and several Axe skills have been turned up to provide more consistent damage during combat.
Woo!
Bunch of buffs and a few nerfs here. Shield Bash, the initial casting time of the skill has been increased, moving the skill from 0.5 seconds to 0.75 seconds total. Yeah, I guess people just couldn't block Shield Bash or Headbutt, and there was very little you could do about those skills. And Headbutt, it's an elite, I think,
that
probably should have kept his cat. Yeah. but Shield Bash I can understand. Arc Divider, the casting time of the skill has been increased by 0.25 seconds. It's already pretty fast to cast, so a 0.25 second nerf is not so bad. It's not going to change much.
You know, I think it's going to change more than you think, though.
That's the Greatsword Berserker skill for everyone who's wondering.
2 seconds is basically forever.
0.25 seconds.
No, but I'm saying that point, like, 2 seconds is basically, so a quarter of a second is, it sounds super fast, but when you're in the midst of it, gosh darn it, it feels like a long time. So.
I'll probably feel it more because they're so used to the old cast time, but.
Right.
True.
I'm not sure. Headbutt, the casting time of this skill has been increased from 0.5 seconds to 0.75 seconds. Distance traveled has been increased from 300 to 400. So
that's
they
good,
did
actually.
Give it that, yeah. But I was using it earlier and it feels
slower.
Slow.
A little clunky.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably, okay, if it were me, what I would probably increase the distance traveled and go back to the 0.5 seconds, but increase the downtime, the recharge. Just increase the recharge rate because it comes back super duper fast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I think this is one of those ones where when you want it now. So the 0.5 seconds is important.
Yeah, the recharge on Headbutt is what, 25 seconds tops? It's
Wow.
That's a very good
that?
For an elite.
I think it
yeah,
does.
It's very
is
low.
That's very low.
Yeah, I'm.
And Headbutt does quite a bit of brace
She's
bar damage, right?
She's fact-checking me, ladies and gentlemen. Love that during the show.
It doesn't have the recharge. Oh, that can't be right.
I'm
recharge
just
time,
estimating.
2 seconds?
No.
No,
right.
It's not 2 seconds.
No.
Don't make me actually open this up. All right.
I might have typed it wrong. Anyway, all I know is it seems fast, so.
Well, the wiki does say 2 seconds. That's weird.
It does, but it's also Activity City of Hope, so I don't think it's pulling the right thing. It's
what?
City of Hope
yeah.
skills. Like, it makes no sense. It's not
oh,
pulling the right thing.
It's the wrong headbutt. Maybe, yeah.
There we go. 25 seconds. Or 20 seconds.
20.
Activation
20
time,
seconds.
20. Yeah, 25.
Has
recharge.
Recharge.
All right.
Yeah,
now
25.
Now we've clusterfucked the heck 20, out of this 25. Conversation. Where was I?
But still, for an elite, that is super fast.
Uh-huh. Smash Brawler.
Smash Brawler. The cooldown reduction received from this trait has been reduced from 33% to 20%.
That's a huge nerf.
I forget what this does. I looked it up earlier.
No, I looked it up earlier and told you.
It reduces the recharge on primal burst skills and berserk mode. So you get your berserk skill 20% faster. Yeah, that's a huge buff, so I can understand why they nerfed it. Warrior has, from the start of the game, been really overpowered with the... So it's interesting to see it finally being nerfed in some serious ways. Powerful synergy. This trait has been updated to double the effects of all combo finishers.
Whoa.
It's like,
no, that's good.
When I think about combo finishers, I don't think warrior. So.
Yeah, but there were a lot of changes to a lot of combo finishers, like a lot of nerfs to combo finishers. So this is one of the few buffs to them. Which I thought was interesting.
I don't know. I think it would be better placed on other professions. Reckless Dodge added missing skill fact for unblockable and increased the damage by 20%. I use Reckless Dodge quite a bit on my warrior. Just like that's when you end your dodge, it does damage in an AoE around you.
Yeah.
So I increased the damage from that for 20%. It's already a pretty good damage, so it's a good buff. Axe Mastery now gives 300 bonus Frosty as long as you have at least one axe equipped. I'm not sure what that was before, but it was probably only like if you had an axe in your main hand or something. Similar to the Ranger change that was made with axes as well. But these further axe changes are pretty crazy. Eviscerate now grants 5 stacks of might for 5 seconds if it hits. Decapitate now grants 5 stacks of might for 5 seconds if it hits. Those are the berserker skills for axe, by the way. That's very powerful changes. Double chop increased damage per strike by 7%, and triple chop increased damage per strike by 7%. Those are the first skill when you have max or axe main hand.
Okay.
So it's chop, double chop, and then triple chop for the first skill, the second chain skill, and the third chain skill. Cyclone.
Actually, so axe mastery, just quickly, it was main hand only prior.
Okay. And Cyclone Axe now grants 2 seconds of fury per hit in addition to its previous effects. Increased invulnerability applied per hit from 2 to 3 stack. Updated skill fact to show vulnerability applied per hit rather than total vulnerability for both hits. So that's actually pretty good, especially if you're like in a PvE or raid situation. I'm not sure how good that would be in PvP unless you're immobilizing stuff. Throw axe increased damage by 27%. It was pretty low damage to begin with, so you would expect to see that large a damage buff.
Mm-hmm.
Dual strike no longer gives fury, now gives quickness for 1.5 seconds per strike that hits. I forgot to check on the recharge for dual strike, but that's pretty good.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I think they're going on the fact that warriors have a lot of fury sources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I love dual-wielding axes as a warrior, so I'm, super jazzed about this.
Anytime you see quickness added to something as well, that's, mm-hmm. 3 seconds of quickness, probably. I mean, it's dual strike, so you get 2 hits, I think.
I might try this later.
And that is it for specific professions. We are moving on to structured player versus player. We have revised the sigils available in PvP. Players who had a sigil that is no longer available will have their money refunded. So yeah, they touched a couple dozen different sigils. Yeah.
Yeah.
And mostly just minor tweaks and changes, but some significant ones. You can check that out by looking at the update notes. I don't think we're going to go through any of them. Do you guys want to talk about the sigils at all?
No.
There were a lot.
PvP default builds have been adjusted in consideration of the sigil rework. I don't really PvP, so I can't comment on the default builds.
No, but there were so many things that they touched, they had to actually, they had to rework the builds based on mm-hmm. those.
Yeah, it's good to see that they're upkeeping that. World versus world. The tactivators and supply depots should now be easier to interact with. So I went in just to check this out, and the interaction area around the individual tactivators is much smaller. It used to be like a very large activation area. You could be very close to them, or you could be far away, or it was difficult to see which one you were standing next to or interacting with. Anyway, it looks like the further apart, I think the icons are bigger, and the actual interaction, there's space between interacting with them now. And updated the Laurel Vendor in World vs. World to include the amulet, trinkets, and rings it was missing. I don't know why they were missing any to begin with, to be honest. Why they didn't have the full selection is beyond me. And that is it for skill balance changes and update notes.
Okay, but were either of you expecting this yesterday? No.
Tuesday. No. Yeah, not at all. And in fact, I wasn't even paying any attention. And normally
I know what you mean.
Normally I look on Reddit or I'm checking Twitter throughout the day. But yesterday I wasn't even thinking that there was any possibility, and it wasn't until I got home, or no, when I it was like afternoon.
I thought it'd be a minor, update here or there. Yeah, totally unexpected.
I think people have been expecting a balance patch.
I think so
for a while, but I don't think they expected it this update.
What was that, 2 weeks after the episode launch? Like, I would have thought maybe mid-cycle of the Living Story episode.
I think some people did expect it during, like, because I remember people talking about it on Reddit during the new episode launch.
Well, those people
It is.
Than me, because I totally did not expect it.
Right.
We also had some Black Lion Trading Company gem store updates. Go figure. It's very surprise. Woo! New items and promotions. Specifically, the new mercenary backpack is available in the style category of the gem store for 400 gems. And it's pretty cool. Like, I can definitely see...
It's a good looking backpack.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought.
No, it's totally fine.
This is supposed to be hashtags, by the way. I've stolen hashtags number. Do you want to take it now?
Just finish up your part. I'll jump in.
No, I'm done. You done. You do it.
Oh, God. Yeah, the mercenary backpack looks great. Thanks, Alona.
Sorry.
Awkward. All right. For a limited time, a new set of keepsake weapon skins is available from Black Lion Weapon Specialists for one Black Lion claim ticket. Black Lion chest keys are available in the special category of the gem store for 125 gems each. We were talking about these earlier. I think that they're, you know, they appeal to certain people. I think they're fun. The focus to me looks like a purse, you know, like a metal.
Isn't that the one that looks like a heart, though?
Yeah.
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 Like a locket yeah. with a key in it.
I wouldn't say it looks like a purse, but it looks like a heart. How many purses look like hearts?
Lots. How many purses have you bought, Hunter?
Several.
It looks like a handbag. It looks like something that you would like carry and then clock somebody with, you know?
Yeah. I like, there's several of them. I like the scepter, mace, focus, kind of like the shield, but I'm not sure about the key sticking out for some reason.
I heard that they jangle.
For the shield, it's stuck in the keyhole. There's in the keyhole. And I would actually almost say the torch might be my favorite of the bunch. It, not only does it look good wielded, it looks great stowed, which a lot of times torches kind of like, because they're not lit when they're stowed, so they look a little bit lackluster. But this one has some nice detail on it. So, and I liked what you said earlier when we were chatting about this hashtag, that they look like something you would build an outfit around, a look around these.
Right.
So, and I totally agree. I think it's not likely that you go, this already suits what I have. This is, I like this particular weapon and I want to build a look around it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, some of the glider skins and backpack glider combos will be removed from the gem store. Get them before they go away. I mean, you know my extensive glider collection, so.
What do you have, two?
Hashtag always hogging the topics that are important to her. Has to get this gem store stuff in.
Oh, my gosh. I have, I have the default glider.
It's usually me that does this. I know. That's why I got confused.
Sorry. yes, I have the default glider, and I have the chicken glider, so.
Wow, yeah, stuff that's pretty awesome.
The long list of gliders.
All right, improvements. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Sword of Balthazar chest
and can be sworn.
Ugh, words. Let me try that again. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Sworn of. No, wait. Is it really Sworn of Balthazar?
Well, so we copied and pasted, teacher. So.
That just looks weird. I think it's Sword. No. Sworn? Really? All right, we're going with it.
The Black Lion chest. The Zanesian are the Sworn of Balthazar.
All right, fine. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Sworn of Balthazar chest and can
be. Like a 15-year-old girl. Fine.
Previewed for a full list of contents, the Zeishan War Paint Kit has been added as the new guaranteed seasonal item. It contains some unidentified dyes, a booster, and a fire orchid.
Whoa.
Wow. The Sworn...
That's dumb. I didn't realize that they added a fire orchid. That is even
such a waste.
Than I thought.
Really a
I
waste.
Like that neither of you noticed I put quotes around improvements in the show notes.
See that now. The Sworn Zeishan Helm is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of this seasonal change.
I could see how it could suit some looks, absolutely, like depending on how it dies.
The Hounds of Balthazar mail carrier is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of this seasonal change. I think Festy spent a bunch of keys on this. Festy, are you in chat still?
Maybe. I think she said she...
It was like 95 keys or something.
Yeah, it was some ridiculous...
We love you, Festy. 75.
I have 5 keys. I held back 5 keys because I figured a change like this was coming and I wanted some in reserve to use for when the change happened. I'm not entirely sure this Zeishan War Paint Kit is worth it. Like, honestly, as much as I poo-pooed the guaranteed item when they first started introducing it, like, the last few have been pretty great. Like,
yeah.
Like the T6 mats, and then this mm-hmm. last one also had some really nice items in it that, you know, if you didn't get anything super interesting, you at least got things that you could sell for gold. And this one, I'll try it, but I'm a little bit dubious about the Zeishan War Paint Kit. The helm is cool. I wouldn't be upset if I got it. And the mail carrier, I'll confess, I haven't seen it yet. It probably is pretty cool, but...
Yeah, it's decent.
Yeah.
And finally, for bug fixes, the audio has been added to the red envelope mail carrier. Have either of you previewed this?
Hunter actually like turned fireworks. His game audio on to hear.
What?
Yeah.
Right?
I have to turn
what does it
off
sound
again.
Like?
Just a bit of fireworks, like a high-pitched squeal and then a pop.
Yeah, like the...
Right, that makes sense. Like the fireworks in
sparkler.
The does it sound like the ones in the guild hall?
Not as detailed or as lengthy.
So yeah, it's nice that they've done that. And there were actually wasn't there something you were going to add in here, Hunter, that they had a late update note?
Oh, it was just like a bunch of stuff fixes for legendary armor.
No, there was one I thought you said for. There was one that was interesting. Oh well. We don't have
it in
here.
I didn't say anything about any
I think it was
ones.
Just the legendary armor and them fixing the floating backpack.
That one.
Well, right. I'm not sure we confirmed that the floating backpack is fixed or not. Maybe someone with legendary armor.
Chat room.
Chat.
Festy.
Can you confirm or deny that the back piece floating thing has been fixed?
One sec. Okay, it's not like it's a live show or anything, Dusty.
The one person we know with legendary armor. Do you think we can stop recording?
What? No.
It is not floating. Woo! Confirmation.
That is actually pretty... Okay, here's my question, though. It's legendary armor. How do you not anticipate that that's going to be a... point of contention.
Here's the thing. When they fixed it, and now that it is fixed, there is some minor clipping that has happened, because I saw this.
Okay.
And I think that people, it was a, you can't win either way. I think that people would have had this massive outcry about the clipping. But now that right.
So was this a planned, you think?
I don't know.
All right,
I feel
we'll
like
show you what the alternative is. You don't like it, this you get the clipping.
I think it might actually... That might be true.
Pretty clever of them, actually. And personally, like, I feel like not every armor piece is meant to be paired with every single other armor piece. So it didn't bother me at all that the backpacks were floating. It just meant to me that you're not supposed to use backpacks with the legendary armor, which was fine with me.
That's true. But I know people there are freaked certain out pieces.
And cried like there little are... babies, and here we are.
Okay, I was unjazzed with that, and I'm far away from getting legendary armor, but. And I also hate cliffing, so they were probably... I'm the person that... I'm the type of person that they were doing this to. Like, look what the options are. You get what you get. Choose one, because this is what it is. So, this week on Toast of Ascalon, sometimes we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, or other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast for their existence. Or to their existence, as... what is actually here. This episode, we wanted to give an update to Gamers Giving Back's MS Toga Party, which was held in-game on May 13th. And at the end of the event, they actually tweeted, "Thanks everyone who joined us for the MS Toga Party today. We raised $1,952.
Wow.
However, I actually checked their donation page, which is still open for a donation as of this recording, which I will give the site for in a little bit. It showed that they reached $2,533, which exceeded their goal of $2,337. So huzzah, they met and exceeded their goals.
That's excellent.
And yes. So I'd say we have a note in our show page about this, but we don't have that. But if you go to Gamers Giving Back on Twitter, they will have links to this as well. So if you still want to donate. So congratulations. I was actually unable to attend the event. I was out of town for the 13th, which I was kind of bummed about, but I did donate some money to it. And that is it. That is the show. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact hashtag on Twitter at #thetag with 2 A's or SIGG.1735 in game in Guild Wars 2. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter, or you can engage Alona at One Big Pear, as in the fruit, P-E-A-R, or in-game at onebigpear.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com, or grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe to iTunes, or on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. And our next live show will be recorded on blank because I didn't put it in. So you can put that in your calendar.
May 31st.
May 31st, which is also when our contest ends. Good show, hashtag. You were surprisingly witty. And Hunter, you are sad, and thank you for blessing us with your presence.
Who was surprisingly witty? I didn't put that in there. It says originally, good show, Hunter, you were surprisingly witty, and hashtag you are sad. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, /S, to imply sarcasm.
I can read ahead while I read.
That's fine, but like, who put this part in there? Trying to make me look extra bad that I was complimenting myself instead of just digging at YouTube.
You were extra witty, Hunter.
I'm always extra witty.